We're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Shin Mem Aleph in the Mosander of Kuk Edition. Mikol Makom Mevav Nigle, says the Ran, it is clear she'im bedvrim achomrim amshutfim b'mahut yichuyav she'yu mitzuim rabim. If with regard to the mundane world, we say that the way the Ran has been discussing that things work through systems, you work your way up, so to speak. So then, in the physical world, he described the darkness, the clouds, that evolvement. So, kol sheken ben dvarim she'en behem shituf klal ve'kimat lo afilu b'shituf Hashem. How much more so when we speak about things that really are not similar, that if you want to fuse them, so then you need tools to fuse them. You need to inject external components to connect things. When you want to connect two things that are of a similar nature, so you have different ways of connecting. You can use scotch tape, you can use glue, you can solder them, you could iron them together. There are ways to do it. That's in the physical world. And when two things are made of a similar material, then it's easier to connect the two. And when you're dealing with things that are really completely disjointed, they have nothing in common, so then you want to connect the two, that's going to be much harder. אבל על דרך סידור נודע לשם יתפרח לבד, מגיע הסידור ההוא על ידי הכנת המקדש וכלה וקורבנותיו. He says, we have this concept of a physical place to serve God. That doesn't seem so natural. God is spiritual, and God comes and describes to us, build me a mishkan. These vessels do these physical sacrifices. So the Ran says, yes, those are physical things that are acting to connect the two sides. Man on earth, God in heaven, you want to connect. God says, okay, here's how you're going to connect the two. Through a temple, through a place that's created in a specific way. In that place, there's going to be God's pillar, God's fire. We say there's God's fire on the altar. So all of that, says the Ran, are, so to speak, an evolvement between man and heaven. Be it the Mishkan, be it God's cloud in the Mishkan, be it God's fire in the Mishkan. Now, this isn't a natural order, such as we would understand how things evolve from one to the other. But in a spiritual sense, that's what God is giving us. Some kind of evolvement, some kind of connection, a gradual connection to heaven. Could be there's some other order here that we don't understand. So you look at this physical thing. You can see a pillar of cloud on the Mishkan. So there's some kind of physical representation to God's presence. In some way, we don't understand what that means. God appears in a pillar of cloud. You see that throughout the Torah. You come to the Mishkan and you see a pillar of cloud there. What does that mean? It means there's some way in which Hashem is telling us, I'm giving you a way that I'm connecting with you and you're connecting with me. Now you understand the Ran is treading a fine line here. Because we say God doesn't use intermediaries, right? We don't have a man on a stick. We say you talk to God directly, and yet the Ran is saying there is this concept that the Mishkan will give you an evolvement process to connecting to Hashem. Okay. He says yes. He says the pillar of cloud was something physical that people could actually see.
Okay, I just caught a fish.
והיא משפעת עלינו שלמות וכוח נבואי שהוא למעלה מן הטבע. So here, through the Mishkan and God's revelation in the Mishkan, the Jewish people were affected a wholeness and a capacity for prophecy that is beyond their nature. And this goes back to what the Ran had begun discussing, that the idea that man can attain such spiritual heights would seem to be a contradiction. Here he is, physical, mortal man, connecting to something so spiritual. Why is that natural? He says it should make more sense to us that we could touch the sun than the idea that we could touch such a level of spirituality. Man can connect with God. How so? Why? It's not something rational, logical. It's something that's irrational. It's beyond our logic. He says, okay, so that works through some kind of evolvement. That's why the Torah repeatedly describes God appearing in darkness, in a mist, in a cloud. The Torah is describing that man has to elevate himself. There's an evolvement in order to attain that height. V'yadua, says the Ran, now it's known, שהנברא אשר כוון בו ההשפעה, אי אפשר שימצא משפיע אם לא ימצאו מושפעים ראויים לקבל השפע ההוא. When you have something that was created to be affected a certain way. So let's take the example. You have a transistor radio. Okay, so someone made a radio that will accept certain airwaves. So then that someone must also have a transmitter that's going to emit those airwaves. You don't create the radio if you don't have a way of transferring the information to the radio. Okay? ומפני שכפי התחלף אישי האדם התחלפות תחנות ושלימויות, and being that the different energies within man will affect man's capacity, his wholeness. Some people have a person can be hyper. So he's got excess energy. He can't sit still for a minute. You can't expect that guy to have the strength to sit down and learn a page of Gemara. If he can't sit down for a second, if every second he's jumping out of his seat, well, he's not going to be able to learn Gemara that way. He might be able. I know a guy who used to learn Gemara standing and dancing around the stender. He couldn't sit still. He wanted to learn. So he would literally dance around his stender as he was learning. He would spend hours standing. Okay, he was able to channel his energies, but there are people who cannot do that. So depending on the energies that a person has, the strengths that a person has, will often define his capacity to attain different levels of wholeness. עד שאפשר שתימצא לפחות שבאנשים הכנה מה שלא תמצא לשלם שבהם. Sometimes you can see the lowest human being with the greatest potential. והמשפיע במה שהוא משפיע, שלמותו שישפיע על כל מה שבכוחו להשפיע. So then, if we're going to compare God to the transmitter that's giving out the signal, so then the signal is going to go out to what those receptors that are there that can receive the signal. The fact that someone is on a low level in society does not mean that he cannot accept the transmission. He's going to talk about prophecy, but we're using the allegory. We're referring to it, for example, as a radio signal. ונציע במשל, he says, let me give you an example. שרב אחד שלם עוד בדרכי לימוד חלוקים. You have a teacher who's very whole in knowing the different ways of learning. כאילו תאמר, בכל אחד מיודגים למידות שהתורה נדרשת בהן, יש למותו שיהיו לפניו תלמידים רבים. So you have this teacher that knows all the 13 laws of derivation, and he knows them all very well, so he can really teach well. So his wholeness would be that he should have many students, עד שבין כולם תהיה למחנה לקבל השפע שישפה מכל אחד מהמידות ההן. So, every student will be able to connect to one of the laws of derivation. But none of them has the wholeness to connect to all 13. The teacher has all 13, but the students, each one can connect with a different one. So then he better have a class where all 13 are represented so that he can give over all 13. וגם כיול פניו תלמידים חשובים מגיעים להשקיף ברוב המידות, and even if he has really top students who can master many of the laws of derivation, אם כל זה עדיין הוא חסר מצד שהוא משפיע, אם לא יוכל להשפיע בין כולם כל הדרכים והמידות אשר הוא שלם בהם. But if he doesn't have any students that he can teach his, what he's encompassed to, so then he's lacking. It's very hard. He wants to teach. He needs someone who can really grasp what he's trying to teach. And that's what our sages say. Our sages say there needs to be a large mass of Jews in order for the Shekhinah to settle. The more Jews present, the more there is a representation of Shekhinah. That's a Mishnah in Brachos. Why do we make a special blessing when there are so many Jews present? Because the more Jews present, the more potential for connection with Shekhinah. That's another good reason to go to the funeral when Chacham Ovadia passed away, or Rav Eliashiv's Yaretz Zayit is now. Rav Eliashiv passed away. 500,000 Jews get together, it does something. It says, though God's waiting to transmit His holiness, and He's saying, every one of you is lacking, but if there's a large mass of you together, then there's the great potential of the Jewish people as a whole. We said there, that whenever you have 600,000, that's a representation of the whole of the Jewish people. So then Hashem says, so to speak, okay, I can connect with you as a large, united body. Being that every one of us has the different angle of connection with God. We're not, there's no two people who connect the same. Or most people will not connect the same way. And there are many legitimate paths. And God is ready to connect with each one in His way. So within Orthodox Judaism, there are many paths. Right? That's the difference between the First Temple period and the Second Temple period. The First Temple period, they had prophets. So everyone was willing to respect everyone else. Because there was a man of God who could tell you, yeah, that's a legitimate way to connect to God. You come to the Second Temple period, no more prophets. So then people would look at one another and say, you're not being from the way I am. You're not being observant and dedicated to God through my channels. And they'd look at one another and think, he's not holy enough. He's not Jewish enough. And in the Second Temple period is where people started calling one another apikores, one who is an apostate. People would literally call other Jews apostates because they didn't match their own standards. One who's a heretic, yeah. So, kofir, yeah. So, the truth is that there are so many channels of connection to God. Within Orthodox observant Judaism, there are 600,000, we'll say, ways to connect to Hashem. And that's legitimate. This guy has the mitzvos that he has to connect through. We all should connect through Torah and Tefillah. But guess what? Even in Torah and Tefillah, there are so many colors, so many variations. It's not all the same. If you only look closely enough. And every one of us has a different soul. And every one of us has a different area in Torah which we will be able to develop. And only us. David HaMelech says one has to delve in his Torah. There's an ownership. Every Jew has a piece of Torah that only he can reveal to the world. No one else can. That's Torato, your personal Torah. Okay, you got to learn. You walk in the first day. Let me tell you what the Torah is teaching you. It's not going to work. You learn long enough, hard enough, you can tap into that. But Hashem wants to connect to all of that. So you need an amassing of people, and then Hashem says, I want to connect to all of them. Yes?
You also said that the second period is when they started calling people first. Like those, do you mean like on a mass level?
On a mass level. It's not my own thought. It's the Netziv in his introduction to Bereishis.
But he's just talking about on a mass level. Like, he had like individual instances.
Well, yeah. It's making it more complicated to a real level, because you
have. Okay, okay. Amru Razal, our sages taught, Shekol Mishen Osek Bepiriyah Verivya, whoever doesn't bother dealing with bringing kids to the world, Gorem Nashchinash Tistelek MiYisrael, is causing God's presence to leave Israel. So that's one of the concepts that seems to have fallen on deaf ears in our generation. People think that birth control is such an easy thing. We believe that we have an obligation to try and have more kids, to bring more Jewish children to the world. Now, that doesn't mean that people should have children without thought, you know. Let's have a family of 20 kids. We can't feed them. We can't educate them. They're roaming the streets like who knows what. That's not what it means. But it does mean that in general, our goal is to have larger families and to invest our strengths in bringing up kids. So this idea that a person who withholds having children is withholding the Shekhinah's presence from Israel, now we understand why. Because the Shekhinah can connect on different levels through different people, and you need different people. You need that variation within Am Yisrael, because that's what allows the connection with Hashem. Okay, let's go two more sentences. We'll finish the paragraph. וכן צריך לומר אחרי שהדיון הוא רזה על הרבה מניינים שיחויב עם עצם לחול השכינה. We have to say this angle of thought because the Gemara says different numbers. It says when you have one person learning, then God appears in one way. When you have three people learning, God appears in another way. You have five people learning, there's a different prayer presentation of God. You have 10 people learning, so then God comes even before they show up to shul. You have 10 people who come to shul. You have 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 600,000. Different numbers the Gemara gives have different meaning as far as God's revelation of Shekhinah. Why? She'en emtzeim achadim. Because there's a different numbers of people will represent different potential of revelation of Shekhinah, because each of us taps in differently to a different degree and in a different variation. The Dai Bezes, he says here, now I've explained it. V'itchayev b'ma shekatavnu shetiyeh ma'alat haklal yoter gdola mi'ma'alat haprat ha'echad. So coming off of what we just said, that means that davening in shul, for example, you're davening with a mass of people, that's greater than any individual's prayer, because the greater unit has a greater representation of God. Even though you could be a very important person, you'll say, what do you mean, my prayers? I need to daven in shul? Yeah, as great as you are, you need that effect of having the difference between you and the next guy and the next guy, and all of us together represent holiness. And that's why Moshe keeps telling the Jewish people, God will not forgive me because I spoke improperly to the Jewish people at large. God says, I'm not forgiving you. And Moshe begs, and God says, stop asking. I'm not going to forgive you. Because the honor that the people at large are owed is so great, because they represent such greatness, such great potential. So that's why Hashem says, I'm not forgiving. That goes back to the original concept the Ran had began with. That when Moshe recounts how God wouldn't forgive him, Moshe is stressing, look at how God cherishes you. You, the Jewish people, you're so cherished. God wouldn't forgive me, because he says, look at what greatness the Jewish people represent. I'm not forgiving you for speaking to them improperly. So that's the shot in the arm that Moshe gives the Jewish people in his final speech about how great they are, what great potential the people, when they get together, what great potential we as a people represent.
Question.